and welcome to Perspectives, which is a series of inspiring conversations with remarkable working women. And we are here live at Advertising Week, which is so much fun. And we are talking today to my client and friend, Nicole Ellingson. Nicole, welcome.
Hello, great to be here.
So can we start just a little bit? I always like to start by talking about your career path and your role now.
Sure. So I have been in advertising now for 20 years, which is kind of amazing to think about. And I didn't always think that this was going to be my path. I originally moved to LA to study film at USC, and I also started taking design courses, and I realized that a career in advertising really married the things I love, which is storytelling, good design, and of course, problem solving, which I love as well. And so my first job was actually in marketing for entertainment. And then I moved on to start working at Chiat Day, and that just gave me a crash course in advertising. It was long days and long nights, and I learned a lot, which was great. And I really saw what was possible with advertising. I had the opportunity to see campaigns like the Pepsi Refresh campaign come to life, where I started to really dig into digital and social media and the power to connect people around a good cause. I really loved that aspect of what advertising can actually do to affect change. So that set me on a path to seek out those types of roles and clients. And now today I am a VP Group Creative Director at Quigley Simpson, which is the largest woman-owned agency in North America. And I lead business for Chase and Marriott. And encouraging travel is, and telling those travel stories has been one of the greatest aspects of my career so far.
And you've done such amazing work. So since you mentioned that, how about we talk a little bit about yesterday? You did a panel, which I was lucky enough to moderate, about the mindset of the Gen Z traveler. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So Marriott and Chase, of course, are very traditional brands, and they have very established look and feel. And they realized, though, that they needed to welcome the next generation of travelers into their brand and the bold credit card system. So they took a look at what was possible to really reach this audience. And that requires a lot of risk to do something different that's different for these brands and where we've been before. And so it was a great creative opportunity to have a shoot, you know, reach a younger, more diverse audience. And we really tapped into fun. And I think that that yielded such great results for our campaign. And it was great to talk about it yesterday, because while our topic may have been Gen Z and brand loyalty, what it's really about is brands taking a chance to do something different to reach a new audience.
And I love what you said about fun, because at the end, I asked everyone if they had some insights, and yours was around fun. Can you share that with us?
Sure. You know, authenticity is what so many advertisers are seeking, and it's a word I've heard over and over again on these panels at Advertising Week. But I think it's a generic word if you're not really willing to take a risk. And I think authenticity happens when you allow the fun to happen, when you actually let people have that curiosity to do something different and really go for it and cultivate a culture that is spreading joy. And Marriott is all about spreading the joy of travel. So I think when you really tap into that and let that unfold, you see it in the work.
And that really also seems so important now when so few things are fun. I mean, you know, there's a huge hurricane aimed at Florida, and well, I don't even have to go into all the things that are not fun in the world right now. So it seems even more important than ever.
Definitely. I think that there are so many things that people are inundated with on a day in and day out basis. And I think having that moment to really stop and lean into those things that bring you joy is really important.
So I want to ask you something, changing the topic a little bit. And I can't believe we still have to talk about this, but it's about the very low level of senior women creative leaders. There used to be, I mean, we're at Advertising Week, as I mentioned, but there used to be this fantastic small conference called the 3% Conference put on by Kat Gordon. And at the time when she started it, there were only 3% of senior female creatives were women. I don't know the number right now. I know it's better than that, but it's certainly not where it should be. It's certainly not equal to men. And there's still so much talk about why that is. I'm curious, why do you think that is? And then to follow up with that, what needs to change in order for there to be just as many women, if not more women than men?
Well, I do think it is going to be interesting in the future as we see a lot more women enrolled in college than men and women thriving in the service industry. So I think what really needs to happen is the gatekeepers at the top need to continue to champion not just women's voices, but all voices. We need more diversity across the board. And what that looks like is giving people a chance to be themselves and not try to follow the mold of what's already been. So a lot of women look at male leaders and try to be that. I think what our industry really needs is for women to be themselves, which might be maybe a bit more compassionate or a bit more collaborative. Because what I've seen in my own career is what's possible when women come together and truly create a collaborative culture where now ideas can thrive or ideas get pushed to be better because people aren't afraid to actually speak up or chime in because it's not just about me, it's about us.
I love you saying that. Tomorrow, I'm moderating a panel at the Equality Lounge around female leadership. And Thursday, I'm doing a panel with my good friend, Allison Arden, who's the creator of The Elements of Us, and Dolores Morton of Step Up. And it's about empathetic leadership. And empathetic leadership is not about being kind necessarily. It's about being thoughtful. And it also makes good business sense on top of everything.
Definitely.
And creating the kind of culture that you that people want to be a part of.
Exactly. You know, I think that empathy is a word that can often seem, like you said, about kindness or just being easy. But what it really means is looking at each person as an individual and championing them in the way that they need. Because that's different for everybody. When you are a leader, it becomes actually less about you and more about your relationships to other people. You have to manage client expectations. You have to manage your team. And it's about building those relationships and understanding what's needed to get the best out of people and making sure that they feel heard.
Yeah. And at the same time, though, I was just reading a study where it said in business, the largest amount, the highest group of people that feel lonely are senior female leaders because they feel like they don't have anyone to turn to and talk to. And that has to change.
Definitely. My career has actually been an anomaly because my career has been shaped by relationships with strong women leaders. Starting with my very first salary job, I had a woman creative director and a woman account person who championed my work, put me forward for bigger projects at the company that we won. And I've been so lucky to have that leadership. These are women I'm still friends with. And even now, you know, working at an agency that has some really strong female leadership between myself, our ECD, who's also a woman, Soraya Dorbin, who I love, our president, Alyssa Stackold. I mean, these are strong women, and it has created a culture that is truly unique, and it's been very inspiring.
as well as the co-founder, Renee Hellyoung. Yes. Another very, very, very strong woman. So it also, it's October and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And unfortunately, you have dealt with breast cancer not once, but twice. And I wanted to ask you, during this month, how has that, I almost feel like this is a lame question and I don't mean it in a lame way, but how has that affected how you live and work?
Sure. You know, it's interesting because my bilateral mastectomy was actually in October as well. So it's not only Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but it's also my anniversary month of that surgery. And I would say experiencing cancer definitely changes your life in many ways. And I think for me, it was a moment to stop and really prioritize myself and my health. I often like to please other people, and I realized that I was not always caring for myself. And with that, you know, with my career, I didn't want to be shy about what I was going through because I wanted people to know, first of all, and how that might impact my ability to show up, but also because I needed to speak up for myself and say, hey, I'm going to need some time. But I also love what I do, and I created one of my favorite campaigns when I was coming out of surgery because we had this incredible opportunity with the LA Fire Department to create a diversity recruitment campaign that wanted to recruit more women to the fire department. And I'm not sure how it all aligned, but it came together that I created a campaign that benefited women while I was going through this experience that's very unique to women. And I think when you love what you do, it starts to just all kind of coalesce. It's no longer separate. And so I didn't want my cancer diagnosis to be separate. I didn't want my career to be separate. It all comes together. It's all part of you and your life and what you're bringing to the table.
That's really beautiful. And I've seen that campaign. It's amazing. So you were in a great position. Well, you made it for yourself where you felt comfortable telling people in the workplace what you needed. But a lot of people either are afraid to do it, they don't know how to do it. Unfortunately, some cultures don't welcome that. But do you have any advice for a woman who's going through, whether it's breast cancer or something else, and needs to tell their employers or needs to tell the people that they work with that they're going to need some extra care and time?
Yeah, I think that creating a workplace culture where those kinds of conversations can be had is so important. And again, I've been very fortunate to have that and have that at Quigley Simpson with my boss, Soraya Dorbin, and have those conversations. But I know that's not easy for others. And I think being honest about what you need and maybe even reevaluating where you are if that kind of culture isn't present, you know, it's hard because you're already going through something, so you shouldn't have to also be a champion for changing the culture as well. And I think that it's really about a call to everybody, anybody listening to this, to really pause and think about the culture they're creating around them. Is it a place where people can come forward with these types of conversations and feel supported?
That's an excellent point. And I guess that's really my follow-up question. If you are a leader and you do have somebody come to you and say, look, I'm going through this, and you also have the pressure of making sure the work is getting done, what can you offer to that employer, or how can you interact in a way that's supportive while you're still meeting your own goals that you have to meet?
Sure. You know, I think really it's about listening and saying, okay, what do you need, and actually listening, because some people are going to say, I want to work because if I'm home by myself or I'm just spiraling in my head worrying about this, I need the work as a distraction. Other people are going to say, I can't even think about work. It's very different for everyone. So I think ensuring that you're hearing people on an individual level about what they need and then supporting them in whatever that may be, because we only have one life.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out a way to get the work done. That's not a problem. Like that can always be figured out. Hopefully you've created a place where you have a strong team around you already that can step in, or a freelance bench that you can call upon, because ultimately this person needs to take care of themselves and you just need to listen to whatever that is.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. So in addition to all of this, you also work with this incredible foundation in LA that has to do with promoting mental well-being for kids. Can you talk about that a little, please?
Sure. I love talking about Worthy Beyond Purpose because it's a nonprofit that my friend founded coming out of the school shootings in Florida. And when we started to think about what's really needed for this next generation, we realized that, you know, arming teachers probably isn't the best solve. And if we could actually give children the tools to process their emotions and their thoughts in a healthier way, that could change the world. And our slogan is, you know, changing the world one mindful kid at a time. And I really believe in that, and I believe in the work because I also practice meditation and mindfulness and breath work. And it's really helped me through my health journey and also the stress of working in advertising. So I think that it's really vital. I do believe that if more people had these tools, we would not see a lot of the mental health issues we see today.
So are there some tips you can share with us with those tools, or even places that people can go to if they want to find out more information about breath work and meditation? And for people like me that think that sounds lovely, but at the same time, it's a very far cry from anything I do. I kind of want to do it, but I kind of don't. So where do I go to learn more?
Sure. So, I mean, Worthy Beyond Purpose actually has a free meditation for the public on Wednesdays that you can check out. But, you know, I use a lot of great apps as well. I love the Headspace app. I also love the Waking Up app with Sam Harris. I think what's been helpful for me, you know, even speaking on the panel yesterday, I was doing breath work beforehand to calm my nervous system. Nobody knows I'm doing that because I'm just breathing. And it's such a simple tool to calm your anxiety or calm your nerves, just taking a deep breath in, counting, holding it, releasing. It's pretty incredible how simple it is and how much of a difference it can make.
I'm going to need to give that a try. And just to end, is there one piece of advice that has really helped you through your life and your career that you could share with us?
I would say the best piece of advice is to find your own voice and not diminish that. Because I think so often, and even when I'm doing my one-on-one reviews, my team is like, I wish I could speak more clearly like you speak, or do things like you do. And I'm like, no, you need to find what actually works for you, because that is your unique gift to the world. And it's not going to be the same. And you might not always be the loudest voice in the room or the most ambitious or the most anything, but you need to find what it is that is unique about you and then let that shine.
Well, you are totally unique and you certainly shine. And it's a pleasure to talk with you and to know you. So thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for listening. We're going to have more interviews with other people later this week with Perspectives here live at Advertising Week. Thank you.